those searchlights up on the tower. Right now. Move! Move!
I listen to 2ARM, 92.1 FM, in the car and at work, for great tunes and community news.
I'm here with John Glatley from Armidale Regional Council for Community Spotlight. Today we're going to talk about a number of things. We're going to talk about fish, and we do have a bit of an event out at Jimmerick Dam this weekend, but we'll leave that information till the end of the interview.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask you, John, are you a local?
Yeah, I'm a local, born and bred in Armidale. Sort of half grew up in town and half grew up out at Wongabinda. We were lucky we had a property out there, and I came to school in Armidale. Yeah.
What school did you go to?
Armidale Dam School at the time, which is Armidale City Public. Yes.
Oh, very good. Now fishing. What's your first memory of going fishing?
First memory of fishing is we used to go up. I had grandparents that were up at Glen Innes and went up there. And Gran, she was the one that got me stuck into fishing, and she said, we've put some redfin in the dam, come and catch some fish. So they left me there, and I threw worms around and carried on, and then as soon as I started mucking around and jerking them through the water, I started catching fish. So that was probably like catching a fish on a lure, because it was a moving worm, but I realised that that's how you can catch some fish, by moving it about.
And it's suffice to say you were hooked then?
I was that. Definitely hooked. And my old grandmate, she was a beauty. They had a holiday house down at Yamba, and so we took every opportunity, and she'd take me out fishing. Me and her, we were bits of buddies, yeah.
So a long history of fishing.
Long history of fishing, yeah, for sure. Oh, my dad, he enjoyed fishing too, but he never had a boat, and Gran had a boat, so I'd rather go with Gran than with him most of the time.
I think I had a similar experience. My father introduced me to fishing very early on, catching trout up in the McDonald River and the Dungown Creek. Trout, mostly, but fishing was a big thing for him, and it was sort of obviously for me as well. It's no surprise, I suppose, that when I grew a little bit wiser, I went to uni and all about water, all about the things that live in the water. But I think that first introduction to fishing was where I got the bug to go and study more. Tell me some of the great places around Armidale to go fishing.
Look, really, it's a bit funny, really. I didn't do much trout fishing at all, but I used to always go down the big hill. That was where I really liked it a lot. I did a lot of bass fishing with mates. As soon as you get your driver's license, you take off down there. Also went out into the Namoi and fishing around a place out near Glen Barra and stuff like that. It was a really, really good spot. But cod and bass, I've always been a big fan of the Australian native fish, and a little bit of trout. But it's funny, I wasn't much of a troutie earlier on, no.
So down there at the big hill, they've got the Bass Lodge.
Yeah.
I always thought I would have loved to stay there, but I never got the opportunity.
Stayed there a lot. I actually was lucky enough to, when I'd get itchy feet doing my saddlery business and stuff like that, I started what we called was a business called Fishing Trips and Tips, and I think it was more of a lifestyle that Chucky said to me. She said, you're only doing this so you can go fishing, and she was pretty right. Yeah, I was lucky. I got to work out of there a fair bit. I spent a lot of time down there. Old Ronnie Sattler, he built that way back thinking that was, well, he did retire down there, but then as we all do, we get old and he died. And he was the one who built Bass Lodge down there. I got some early photos of him putting the footings in down there. So great spot down there.
I did see many years ago it was for sale. What's the how's it used now?
Well, it got sold to a fella called Dave Thompson, and I worked out of it while he was renting that out. I did a few trips for him and my own trips out of there for quite a few years, and he's sold it on to someone else now. And the bit of the problem with it down there now is the road's getting about $440 million spent on to get it to how it should be. So it's been closed off to the public, and you can't really get down there now, and it won't be able to for the next 4 years. You've nearly got to be a local to get in there because it's no through road, but which has put a bit of a hammer on. But they're putting they're trying to start the hydro scheme down there, and I think there's a few people that have been staying in there that have been trying to get the hydro scheme working up there. Yeah.
So we're talking about the Big Hill.
Yep.
We're talking about the Bass. It's a beautiful river down there to canoe on.
Yep.
Crystal clear water most often. Lovely pebbly beaches and large rocks. Tell me something about the Bass. What do you know about the Bass?
Look, they're actually the Great Barramundi and them have got so much in common. They're a fish that has to breed. They've got to go to the brackish water. So even all the fish up here, they don't all go at once. Some will stay for seasons and seasons. But they're the Aussie battler, mate. They're just the nicest fish to catch, nicest fish to handle. Very good to release. They have a good survival rate when you release them. They probably are my favourite fish, even though the Murray cod, I call them the Labradors of the fish, because they're a lovely fish to handle too. And getting them off the hook, they even look at you. I'm pretty sure they communicate with you, but they're one of my favourite too. It's a bit stuck between the two of them, really.
So as an eating fish, the bass is a good eating fish?
People tell you they're not, but they really are. They're top of the line, and so is the Murray cod. But we just, very seldom do we keep a fish nowadays. But my wife, Chook, she loves a fish, and sometimes I might sneak one home to her just to be on the good books.
How far is it from here down to the Big Hill?
Well, it's basically 2 hours, you know, and same if you're going out, even out to Warrabah and down in Glenbarra and all of those sort of places.
Well, that leads me to an important point. So it's 2 hours
yep.
to get to a good bass fishing place.
Correct.
But if we actually, our wishes, we'll get Jumerik Dam, which is 15 minutes away, as a bass fishing hotspot.
For sure. And this is where you stock them. And you stock a dam with your bass. They're very, very hardy. They can match up to a redfin and other competitors for growing in dams. And yet, look, we can have one of the best fisheries for bass here in the New England, just right on our doorstep out there at the dam.
December 2017, you and I put a application in with council in the New South Wales Fisheries Trust.
Yep.
Now, the trust has money that from our fishing licences. Yep. Part of that goes into the trust and it's put out into the community. After a few years of trying, council was successful receiving some funding to put the jetty in.
That was a wing that you actually started back in 2017. So we've got our jetty now, which is a good thing. Some people think it's good, some think it's bad, but I reckon it's great, mate. It's going to be a great little fishing platform for kids, I think.
And particularly, I think probably people see it now with the dam a little bit empty, and it had to be empty to do the dam wall refurbishment. But as soon as that is holding water, as it normally does at reasonably full levels, that wharf is just going to be perfect.
Oh, it'll be beaut. It's not the sort of thing you're going to be diving and swimming off that much, but once it comes up, when you look at the beach there and you get to the high water mark, it's going to be a beauty. It'll be a really good little platform for people to do stuff off for sure.
And we've got the boat ramp has been upgraded.
All of that and the beach there. Hopefully we'll be able to use a bit of our community money when we can get it to keep the weed out of the beached area so that in the summer it can be a really good swimming spot for the kids. I think, look, we've done very well with it. I went out to the opening there and I was very impressed. I think we've got a pretty good recreational area there and for visitors to come and there mightn't be that many camping spots or places where you can put your little van or your motorhome or whatever, but it's for free and first in, best dressed, and you can spend a couple of days there, a couple of nights, but I don't think they want you to spend too much more than that at one particular time. They don't want you to live out there, but it'll work itself out. I think the more people about, the better it is, but I think it'll be good.
Well, the two things for me is there's plenty of vehicle parking. There's plenty of what I'd say would be all access, so wheelchairs, older people, disabled. And when we put that application in, we actually talked about handicap-type access to the water's edge.
It is most all access. We've covered our bases pretty well there, I think. Yeah, and for sure, it's for everybody. It's not, not for one particular type of people. The whole lot out there, and when I've been out there, even before that, when we opened it up a little bit early at Christmas time, before it was even finished, I went out there and it really was the League of Nations out there. It was a beauty. It was just great to see so many people that were out there doing things.
And the new toilet facilities, they're great.
All that good as gold. And we can still improve on it. I believe we've still got a bit of area up on the southern side there and down towards the wall that we can be getting other stuff in there. It's been said maybe if it is a big success, we could put a kiosk out there so that, someone privately could lease it or something. But no, look, it's got so much potential still even now with what we've done.
Yeah, it's the start of good things to come. You've got the children's playground.
And it's a beauty, yep.
So if you want to have a different type of playground, it is different than the ones in town. You want a different type of playground, take the kids out there. You've got water.
But shade.
Shade.
Plenty
yes.
of shade. Yep.
And barbecues. They've got electric barbecues.
Yep.
The other thing is the first place where visitors come to Armidale to have that nature experience is often Jumeirah Dam.
Yeah, for
because
sure.
Everything else further away, you've got Wollombi Falls, you've got Ebor Falls, you've got all those falls, but they're a bit of a distance away from Armidale City. But this is 15 minutes away. If you've got relatives coming up for graduation, or you've got parents or whatever coming to visit, or visitors from overseas, some of our new community that are here, they can go and have a picnic 15 minutes away, go out into the bush. There's a bushwalk as well, isn't there?
Yeah, there's the walking track. There's still a bit of security fencing up around the back of the dam wall, but when all of that's all cleaned up, you can do the whole circle of the dam. So you got your bushwalking. Look, even with your bikes, it's a bike ride out there and back. When this rail trail eventuates, it can hopefully we can join something up there so that you can have an experience of dropping in there as well, you know? The world's our oyster, really, as far as it goes out there, and this is just the first part of what it can be, I believe, you know?
Well, interesting you say the rail trail, because it's not far away.
No, it's not. It's fairly close to it, but it is through some private land, and who knows, we're still at the stages of getting this up and going, the rail trail, and some are for it and some against it, which is fine, but I've always been a believer, and especially going out through that area, just tourists alone. With Jumeirah Dam, you got tourists. With rail trail, you got tourists. We've got so much out the eastern side, which I don't know how come we haven't really been able to get in touch with that. I even saw that there's a Port Macquarie touring business that are bringing people up here to do the waterfall. So that's a bit of a tick for the area, but it's a bit of a shame that we can't get something going. But you never know, whatever's going along there. But it is an untouched area, that's for sure.
Well, just back to that, the rail line is that you say it's through private land, but it'd be only one or two owners to get it back onto the road.
Oh, for sure. It's not, as far as the crow flies, it's not very much at all to get over to the rail line.
It's only a stone throw. You can see the rail line from the road as you enter into Jumeirah Dam Road.
That's it.
And you're only talking bicycles, so we're not talking the width of cars, we're talking the width of a couple of bicycles. So that's something I hadn't even thought about.
Yeah, well, that's came into a few people's minds, and if we can join that up somehow, that'd be great. Look, we've got a lot of potential here, and especially out there, and looking forward to seeing what this weekend brings, probably, too, you know, to see how many people new people from town coming to have a look at it.
Oh, definitely. So just a final thing on the Bass. So this experience that we're working through now with Jumeirah Dam, a couple of the dams, and I think maybe I talked to you many years ago about this, a number of dams in west of Brisbane, they overstocked their impoundment to get rid of the gambusi or the guppies that were in there, the feral species. And what they found was that there were so many people that started using it for fishing. They didn't have an impact because the stocking rates were so high. They didn't have an impact on the fish, but what they created was dams close to Brisbane that where people could go out and catch fish.
Yeah, you've got bass in a lot of those, a lot of bass. You've even got barra in them as well. So, you know, impound fish. Down in the Hunt, we've got Glenbourne and St Clair, which have got lovely stocks of bass. This little dam of ours is nowhere near the size of those, but it's still got potential for the population to get stuck into the bass for sure, yeah.
And I think back then when we put the application in, I did some sampling, and there's so many gambusi. Now, gambusi are the mosquito fish from Brazil or Mexico, I think, that were brought in the 60s to get rid of mosquitoes. Hmm. And they've just bred up and they're out of proportion. And they eat fish eggs and they eat frogs' eggs, and they're quite a nasty little feral species.
Yep.
But they're the perfect thing for bass.
Yeah.
And bass would just hammer the population, but you couldn't stock enough bass to really, you know, get rid of them.
Yeah.
But there's a food source there all the time for the bass. So it makes a perfect argument. Trout are an impoundment, as you know, and they're only on the bite every so often. But bass are on the bite more often than not.
They're an aggressive fish, there's no doubt. And having the food source there so they can grow into trophy fish, that's a thing, you know. And that's where these dam fish, like you said, up in southern Queensland and down in the Hunter, that's where you get the big bass, you know. And this is what we can hopefully have up here, you know, that people can come and have a crack, you know.
And canoe fishing, it will be a big thing.
Yep, canoe fishing. We it it will it There'll be no speed boats. There'll be no power boats allowed on there. Electric motor probably, but it is just the ideal place to bring a little a canoe or a Canadian type canoe and a couple go in there, and you can have a fish around there all afternoon or all morning and have a great time. Yeah, for sure.
So let's talk about Saturday. What have we got planned for Saturday? This is Saturday, this coming Saturday.
This coming Saturday, we got Ozfish that have put their hands up, and they're the fellas that are running this for us at the council. So it's great. You know, they're great to work with. This is a bit of a first stage. They're having a go at coming and doing a bit with Jumeirah Dam. For the kids, we got BCF have got handouts. They've got a lot of stuff to give away. We've got a raffle, so if you can get on the Ozfish site and you can book in for the kids. It costs nothing. The whole day is for nothing, but if you book in, then you get a ticket number.
So that booking is Ozfish, ozfish.org.au, and you go online. It's free. And you just book in, and that will give you a ticket in the lucky dip as well. And it also helps with the numbers of people there.
Yeah, for sure. And it is. It's for the kids. And as I said, so BCF got behind it. We've got the fisheries fellas. They'll be out there giving us all the rules and the regulations that we can, so we can be talking to them, mainly for the kids, as we've said. But you've got to have the oldies there to bring in the kids there. We're going to have a couple of vans there, food vans there. There'll be coffee there, I think.
Dino.
Oh, yeah.
Don't forget Dino.
Yeah, Dino, the smoked trout. You can come out there and he'll let you have a crack at a bit of your smoked trout. I think there's a gun fly fisherman out there that can. He's going to be doing showing everyone how to cast and whatever, and doing a few tricks with his fly rod. So that'll be good. There'll be fishing club. All the fishing club people will be out there, I'd presume, to come out to have a bit of a look, for sure. Yeah.
Well, I did talk to Harry from Ozfish, who's organising this, and he was saying that St Kilda Fishing Club.
Yep.
They've got some money, I think, probably from the trust or from their barbecues that I always contribute to buy. Buy some bass, and I think later in the year they might put them in.
Oh, that's good. They come out and make yourself known and have a talk to everyone, and there's so much to learn about all of this up here, you know. It's something, and the other things that people forget, and maybe this has helped me a fair bit, even though they say that drinking and fishing goes together, but I really do think the mental health of a lot of people, it doesn't matter who you are, you see a lot of celebrities that say fishing has saved their lives and put them on the right track. So there's a hell of a lot in it than just going and having a fish. I think it's so good for the community.
Well, I think that just that quiet time and out in the bush or on the beach. I mean, I did a lot of tailor fishing and whiting fishing when I was a boy, and that was just very tranquil, calming as a teenager. So it starts at 8.
Yep, 8 till 12, I think
8 to 12, 8 to 12, Saturday morning. Go to Ozfish, ozfish.org.au. Get in the line for the lucky dip. So yep. Get your ticket. But I think you can also register out there as well.
I'm pretty sure you can. You turn up there. It's just they'd like to have a bit of an idea with numbers probably for a start. But you most definitely can go out there. If they've got giveaways for the kids, you've got raffles to win, and it's not a fishing competition. But hopefully we can get a few of the redfin out of there so those bass can survive a bit better probably.
Well, that's the big thing, is to try and give them a fighting chance when they get in there. There is a bit of habitat around the reed around the edges, but I think talking to Harry too is that some artificial substrate, maybe at some stage in the future, just to help the survivability of the little bass when they go out there, because the redfin they hit them pretty damn hard.
Yeah, they're a pest, the redfin, and you're not meant to put them back in the water, so we recommend that you keep the redfin out. But there is a fair bit of structure around there. Even it was actually good seeing the dam half full or half empty, whatever you call it, to see where your rock structure is that you've for the favourite spots that you have fished before, and especially if you haven't got a sounder to see those rock structures, it's really good to see it when it's down and you say, well, that's why I caught fish there, because there's a bit of structure there holding a bit of food, you know.
But I suppose we put artificial substrate around the edge just in the inside of the reeds. So then there's another, not only is it habitat to keep the little finglings alive away from the redfin, but it's also another place to go fishing.
For sure, yeah. Just snag up in there a little bit, but that's yes. Okay. But no, a few lures hanging off there every now and again. But no, and that is getting them, giving them a place to hide, and that's a good thing for sure.
So redfin.
Redfin.
You can eat redfin.
Redfin are bloody good eating.
Yep. So if you come out, not only you've got two coffee carts, you've got Dino with the smoked trout, You've got fishing demo, New South Wales fisheries, you've got the lucky dip. But if you're actually lucky enough to catch a redfin, you can take it home without no questions asked.
Yep.
And cook it up with a nice beer batter.
You most certainly can. All you've got to do is skin them. You can't scale a redfin. Their scales will not scale off the skin like all other fish pretty well. They're one of the very few fish that you cannot scale. You have to skin them.
So that's a nick just at the tail and then a pair of pliers and skin them.
Or knock the fillet off them and then turn the fillet around and give them a jiggle and pull your sharp knife through it. And yeah, but or just bake them whole and pull the skin off and throw it away anyway.
Right. Now, catching a redfin. So I've got some plastics.
Yep.
And I heard red selters are pretty good.
Red selters are pretty good, even though you're probably flat out finding your selters much now. But look, anything with a spinner blade on it, as in pretty well any of little type spinner baits, definitely your plastics, even just in bright colours, I believe, are the best. And keep them moving. You've just got to keep jigging them, moving them up, jumping them off the bottom and back down, up off the bottom and back down, and keep them moving, and that's what they like. They like a moving bait for sure.
So this takes me back to what you first said about the dam and the little worms, one of your first fishing experiences.
It was, and you had a little sinker on and a little hook with a worm on it, and I got bored because I wasn't doing anything, so I was just practicing casting, throwing it out and winding it back in as fast as you could, and that's how I caught my first redfin in a little dam at Glen Ennis when I was a kid, and I'll never forget it.
Oh, that sounds very good. Just on a side note, we've got, you are a councillor at Armidale Regional Council.
Yep. This is my second term.
And there is an election in September.
Yeah, coming up. It's just the day before my birthday, actually.
So are you going to have your birthday and sink into the wilderness, or are you going to have another go?
Look, it's a bit of a hard one for me at the present. I'm still a bit wondering because I'm at the retiring age and I've just about had enough of doing the work. So I'll see what happens. I'll see who puts their hands up, and if we get a bit of quality putting their hands up or talking to in the coming months, and it looks like it'll be a good term, I most definitely will be having a crack, but we've got to play it by ear a bit. I've got to keep the missus happy as well.
So just on that retirement, now you mentioned saddlery.
Yeah.
How long have you had the saddlery?
46 years I've been working in the saddlery here. So, and as I said earlier on and off, I've been doing a few different things, getting away from there and breaking it up a little bit, you know, tour guiding, fishing.
All right, John, thank you very much. And I'll just go through those things just again.
Yeah.
A final thing. Ausfish is organising this event out there this Saturday from 8 a.m. to 12. There's coffee, two vans out there. Dino will be there as he smoke fish. There'll be a fly fishing demonstration.
That's it.
New South Wales Fisheries will be there. It's more of a kids' event, but we want to actually try and bash those redfin and take a few home for the pan or the freezer.
Sure.
If you book at ausfish.org.au, you'll go into the lucky dip. But if you miss out on booking there, you can probably register out at the event. It's all free. Obviously, the coffee's not free and Dino's stuff's not free, but you'll be able to get your stuff there. So come out and bring your kids.
Canoes,
yes. Whip down to BCF and grab a canoe.
That's it. They're getting cheap now. Geez, they used to be expensive when I was a kid.
No, I bought one for my young daughter and it was under $100.
Yeah, don't you can tease it. Even the little blow-up ones, mate, there's so much good stuff about nowadays. Fishing gear's not dear like it used to be.
No. John, thanks very much for being on Community Spotlight.
Oh, pleasure. Quite enjoyed this. I didn't know whether I was going to, but it was very good. Thank you.
No, thanks again. And that was John Glatley from Armidale, councillor at Armidale Regional Council. But he's more than that. He's been a saddler for 46 years. He's been fishing for more than 60 years.
Yep.
And he's one of our locals and one of our gems. Thank you. See you next time.
Thank you so much.
Broadcast, then podcast. If you missed it or want to hear it again, then visit our webpage, 2arm.net.au/podcast. I listen to 2ARM 92.1 FM in the car and at work for great tunes and community news.